Professor Rukunuzzaman, I mean, I know that you have been following the net neutrality debate in Bangladesh, not only as an academician, but also as a subject matter expert on the issues. I know that you have written about that in a couple of places, and recently you also made a presentation at the roundtable organized by Bangladesh Software Association. So our first question would be, like, you know, to know what is your take on net neutrality scenario in Bangladesh, and what do you think the challenges are with the current scenario?
Well, thank you very much for raising the question. Basically, the way we look into net neutrality, it is about discriminatory access to platform. Mm-hmm. That means there are two types of platforms here we do look into. One is that a network provider, like mobile operators. Second is that on top of it, like Google, Facebook, and other platform providers.
Mm-hmm.
So when a platform provider enters into a service market, it's not about the VAS, it is about the functionally specialized service, like a healthcare service or e-commerce or, mm-hmm. or educational service. Then there is a question of unfair competition.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is that network operator has the advantage to apply its vertical foreclosure strategy to weaken the competition. And that's the place we think that net neutrality is an important issue, particularly to nurture entrepreneurship, the emerging digital service transformation. And that issue is not dealt with, then there will be there will be higher level of inequality. And also there will be suboptimal exploitation of digital opportunities.
Do you think there is sort of a conflict of interest when they are trying to provide at the same time content-related service using the same infrastructure that is meant to be equal for everybody, right?
That's right. We see a unfair advantage for the network provider,
mm-hmm.
because already they are running to some degree a profitable business.
Right.
And the service is supposed to transfer over their network. And they are in a situation to some degree influence that service delivery in terms of quality of service, availability of service. So if we allow a network operator to come into the service delivery market, whether as I mentioned, whether it is a new service or health service, then there is an obvious question of natural advantage of monopoly,
mm-hmm.
or what they can exploit on.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, the competition will be weaker and innovation will suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And moreover, I would say that monopolization will lead to higher degree of inequality in the society.
Mm-hmm.
So they should not be allowed to get into the service delivery market. Moreover, network operators are not functionally specialized like an insurance service provider or a health service provider. Rather, society has invested over the decades to develop functionally specialized service providers.
Mm-hmm.
Then why are we weakening those functionally specialized service providers by allowing network operators to deliver their service?
Mm-hmm.
Rather, we should use this platform as a common platform for all other specialized service providers to expand their services, to improve the quality of their services, to reduce the cost of the services by taking the platform as a common shared network for them.
But is it not also the case that, for example, the telecom operator are saying that they are actually partnering with functionally specialized service providers in order to provide their services?
The partnering creates the shadow of applying their monopolistic market power.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When a network operator forms a partnership with one provider, functionally specialized provider, then other providers get into disadvantageous situation.
Right.
Then the competition will be weaker,
mm-hmm.
because we are allowing a network operator to form a partnership with one or a couple of service providers.
Mm-hmm.
So we are weakening the competition. Then why are we allowing them to come in? What is the uniqueness they have to bring in the market?
From the consumer perspective, I mean, even for a short term, I mean, if they get some benefits, if they get some services free, what is the issue that the consumers need to be worried about in the coming days, in the long run?
And that's a good question. There is a concept called predatory pricing. That means a powerful provider uses a subsidy strategy to crowd out the competition from the market. And initially, consumers will get an impression that they are better off because they are getting to some degree subsidized or free service. But when the competition disappears from the market, then what will that monopoly do? Monopoly needs to recover the money. And how will the monopoly recover the money? The first question.
Mm-hmm.
Second question is, when the market is monopolized, then the profit making becomes a sure, a certain thing. Then monopoly does not take the risks of making investment to pursue innovation.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, additional benefit what consumers would have got out of innovation will be basically left out.
Mm-hmm.
So apparent, I would say that the benefit to consumers will lead to long-term, far larger loss for the consumer.
Can you set some particular examples that is actually showing off that, you know, it's functionally specialized services are being provided by them, or, you know, having advantageous services going to any particular, you know, group of companies or something like that?
Well, in Bangladesh, we still that kind of example has not been created. The reason is that network operators have been to some degree forbidden to enter into functionally specialized services to a large extent.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look into global example, mm-hmm. like a European Commission's position to penalize Google,
mm-hmm.
that Google being a platform provider was marginalizing competition in the digital content and service segment. Similarly, in India, Competition Commission eventually was forced to take action against Google.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come into Bangladesh and other developing countries, once you allow mobile operators, then what they would to come into the service segment, then they will basically make those existing functionally specialized service provider weak, and as a result, consumers will suffer. So here it is that many of the adverse stories, what might show up in 10 to 20 years down the road, we should predict it.
Right.
And according to the prediction, we should take steps now. That means after being suffered, we should not look for remedy. Rather, we should look for remedy before the suffering starts.
Yeah, for sure.
I gave a few examples in the past. Like that's a conventional company, like an American, that's the Standard Oil company, that they were pursuing the technology and innovation to make the oil cheaper and better. But once they monopolized the market, then they stopped pursuing that. Even they had patents, but they didn't apply it because it was not bringing additional profit to the monopoly.
One thing that actually came up into your conversation, and I would like to know more about it, is actually Bangladesh government so far still didn't talk much about net neutrality issue yet. We know about Competition Act 2012. We know about Telecommunication Act 2001, which actually kind of like discouraged any sorts of unfair competition, you know, giving unfair advantage to certain particular services. And then also we have found that in a broadband policy, obviously the government has talked about, you know, developing local content and promoting and encouraging local content services. From your perspective, and as an academician and as a researcher, what is your take in terms of, you know, this policy intervention that you can suggest for the government, that government can bring in order to address the issue?
That's a good point. I think there is a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
BTRC and the MOPT, they have been assigned to formulate policies and regulatory framework to govern the telecom sector.
Right.
But on the other hand, they are the major beneficiary of the revenue earned by the telecom industry.
Right.
Almost 50% revenue earned by the telecom industry is transferred to the BTRC's account. And BTRC measure its success in terms of how much revenue they get from telecom industry.
Mm-hmm.
So they are basically in line with taking steps which increase the revenue for the telecom industry, because that's the way they measure the success.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is at the cost of the banking industry, they do not probably mind. If it is at the cost of the insurance industry or healthcare industry, probably they wouldn't mind, because their success is measured by the revenue earned by the telecom industry.
Right.
So
right.
To some degree, MOPT and BTRC are not sweet neutral organizations to govern the competition scenario related to the digital take-up of many other services.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a separate entity to look into the fair competition among all other sectors which are going to rely on the telecom service network.
Mm-hmm.
So Bangladesh has a voidness of that institutional capacity, both within the government and in the civil society, to analyze this scenario and raise issues of fairness of competition and likely suffering of consumers in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the reason government's voice appears to be not touching the issue what is supposed to be looked upon by the government.
Yeah, no, for sure. This is an important area. And you're talking about a separate institutional authority in order to look at this kind of like competition bureau or something like that, so that it can look into the issue of competition, fairness and everything else, you know, not only the telecoms.
Moreover, I would share another point.
Yeah.
That the competition scenario in e-service market is quite different than other markets.
Right, exactly.
Because e-service markets have natural tendency of monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a vertical dependency on platforms, both the network platform and other middle layer are platforms. And often competition commissioners would face very difficulty to understand the underlying nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the reason we need a very strong research capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Blending the technology and business strategy and the competition scenario.
Mm-hmm.
In absence of this research capacity, independent competition commission or competition bureau wouldn't function,
mm-hmm.
because they wouldn't able to understand what is the likely implication of this one down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would try to follow the model of other markets, like markets of potato or markets of vegetable or markets of transportation service.
Right.
But this e-service market has a natural tendency of monopoly, which is quite different from other industries. Even our judges, our legal system, they need to be intellectually empowered. They need to be supported with the research. What is the meaning of scale effect, scope effect, network externality effect, vertical foreclosure mm-hmm. strategy within the context of the competition of
mm-hmm.
e-service?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, this whole issue will remain unsolved, and eventually, you know, the opportunity will be marginalized due to net neutrality.
So you are talking about not only the institutional development, but also the capacity development within the institution. Or is it that you are talking about a sort of a
I think that should be outside of the institution. There are three kind of institution here. One is the regulatory institution, policy
right.
institution, and the legal institution.
Right.
I am proposing a separate independent research institution, which will provide inputs to them.
Right. No, thank you. I mean, that's really good points. I've seen that one particular thing that, you know, I mean, many of the people in Bangladesh and particularly in the rural areas, I've seen that they think that, you know, Facebook is the internet because of the fact that, you know, many of the telecom operators are providing Facebook free with zero rating or something like that.
For quite a while, we are trying to raise a voice, but the voice is very faint because you do not have an organized research capacity.
Right.
That in Bangladesh, internet is mostly used for non-productive purpose.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, the correlation between internet penetration and development implication probably likely negative in Bangladesh,
mm-hmm.
but it has not been articulated and presented to the development organization and policymakers. That look, you are saying
Can I interrupt, sir? A second. I mean, you say that internet users in Bangladesh is mostly for non-productive purpose, as you said. Is it?
That's correct.
Is there any research-based evidence?
That is the point. I'm saying there is a research deficiency.
Okay.
But informal discussions are revealing
mm-hmm.
that more than 80% users of internet is Facebook and social network and YouTube type video content consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a serious question that they are counterproductive to the children, to housewives, and to even to many adults.
Mm-hmm.
And in other countries, like in US and in Europe, there have been some studies regarding to addictive engagement of youths with smartphone and social platforms.
Mm-hmm.
But in Bangladesh, that research has not been done yet. And there is a burning issue that this issue needs to be investigated. Already government raised this issue for some reason, I do not know, that once there was some degree of declaration from the BTRC that BTRC is concerned about Facebook-centric non-productive use of internet in Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm.
So that correlation of internet penetration and development progression probably is negative in Bangladesh. And that is the reason often we say that VAT on internet penetration should not be reduced. because that's basically going to increase the profit for operators and hurting citizens further. Rather, the content part should be looked upon.
Yep.
And the social awareness part should be looked upon.
Right.
So that people get the opportunity and become aware of the opportunity
mm-hmm.
to make productive use of internet
mm-hmm.
before you give incentive to operators to increase their profit. And that seems to be unheard. People are, the government is not listening to, and certainly network operators are not listening to. They're saying the same song as before, that 10% penetration, 10% increase in penetration of internet leads to some percentage of increase of GDP growth. That seems to be quite absurd in Bangladesh.
Yeah, I mean, it's all because of revenue-centric, you know, I mean, indicators are always is a bit of a problematic because it's, I mean, when you are talking about like awareness generation, content generation, you know, I mean, this is not obviously probably not immediate revenue generating.
But the thing is that is a place government is supposed to step in.
Yes, yes, no, definitely. That's
government's role is to invest to stimulate growth.
Yes, yes, facilitate.
Inclusive growth.
Yep.
Inclusive growth, equitable growth. So government must not measure its success that how much money it collects from telecom operators. Rather,
right.
how much contribution it makes through telecom to the growth of the country, to the growth of the citizen.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Professor Okunuzaman, for giving us some time.